But right now, the star of Triple's Alley is back with us, and we always have so much fun with her, and that is Carmen Q. Carmen, how are you?
Hey, how's it going, Marty? How you doing?
Well, we're going great. It's my first pregame after weeks and months of Saturday shows. I'm glad to be doing a pregame again and glad to have you with us. I'm looking forward to a nice year with you.
I know. It's a little bit abbreviated, and it's definitely not what we had in mind. I mean, you know, I think we all expected to be out at the public house and holding dogs and signing balls and things like that. But it's just a little bit of a different season this year, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I'm just glad to have baseball, to tell you the truth. And I've talked about, you know, some of the results yesterday. And, you know, look, you cover the game and you have so much fun with Cole and Therese and Anthony on Triple's Alley. And I know you're not doing it this year, but, you know, you follow the game. Let's just talk a little bit about Madison Bumgarner yesterday and the game he pitched and then didn't talk to the press afterwards. It looked like vintage Bumgarner.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like nothing's changed other than the uniform. You know, I think that he made the right decision for himself in going to Arizona. That's where he wanted to play. And, I don't think the Giants would technically benefit from him all that much with the situation that they're in anyways.
No. And which leads us a good segue into the best part of the first two games for Carmen Q.
Oh, I'll say Mike Yastrzemski.
Right.
I think that he's been like a nice little surprise because I half expected to see him have a little bit of a sophomore slump or just, you know, I don't know what I expected from him, but it's nice to see him kind of coming out of the gate strong and being kind of one of the core outfielders. So he's been a really nice surprise for me.
Now, are you drawing a smiley face as you say that?
Are you making fun of, like, my emojis?
Triple's Alley, there's a lot of drawing that goes on. You know that, so, all right.
Yeah, we like to have some fun there, you know. I know a lot of shows are X's and O's, but, we're a little bit different.
I love it. Come on, it's been a big, big hit, and I know you'll be back as soon as baseball gets back on a regular schedule and everything else. I'm sure we'll see you. All right, Mike Yastrzemski, you know what I like about him? I like the way he looks, his expression, his eyes. He doesn't have any fear. You know, this guy looks like he's played 15 years in the big leagues, not one. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, he has a little bit of a confidence around him that you usually don't see from someone so new to the big leagues. You know, and maybe that has something to do with his lineage, but I think that he just is confident in his approach. He's confident in where he stands. I mean, we certainly saw that even with his stance with Black Lives Matter. You know, he was one of the first to take a knee, and he didn't look back. So I think that he's just got an air of confidence around him that is really nice to see in a young player.
You've been very much at the head of the class. We did this last year when we did a mid-inning relief podcast with Hader and different people and social issues. What is your take on Sam Coonrod, and is it a fracture in the clubhouse, and how do the Giants deal with it? What are your thoughts about that?
I mean, Sam Coonrod has every right to stand up for what he believes in and speak his mind. I think that is one of the most beautiful things about America, and one of the most frustrating at times is that anybody can say whatever they want and do whatever they want, and they're free to do so. I think that his explanation of why he did it was maybe a little bit confused, and I think that's where Gabe Kapler and the other members of the clubhouse can help guide some discussions on potentially why he feels that way. And maybe, you know, come to more of an agreement, at least from, you know, you choose to do this and I choose to do this, and it has nothing to do with disrespecting the flag, right? So I think there's just going to have to be a lot of behind the scenes work, and it can certainly cause some tension within the clubhouse, but tension isn't necessarily a bad thing when you're fighting for something as important as racial equality.
Well, we'll see. He didn't look very, very comfortable last night. Now, of course, that's just me watching the game.
Right.
You know, just didn't have his stuff. And Who knows? He's a young man. Who knows how all this has affected him? How do you feel that baseball's handling Black Lives Matter, the kneeling? And it's certainly something, if your eyes are open in the world today, you have to realize what's going on and how important this movement is and how important it is to keep it in the forefront every day. Is baseball doing the job properly?
You know, I think they're doing the initial steps to show that they have interest in changing the game. You know, obviously the Red Sox have painted Black Lives Matter over on their stadium. The Tampa Bay Rays have been very, very vocal, talking about police brutality and kind of being the most kind of outspoken member of the MLB. And, you know, I know that the kind of black rope, the unity rope that was held at opening day was actually spearheaded by former Giant Andrew McCutchen. So I think they're trying to do the right thing, which is listen, learn, and evolve. But I think there has to be a lot more work done getting black players within, you know, front office jobs. And even the players themselves, there's not a lot of black players on the field. So I think there's a lot of work to be done kind of at the core of MLB. But, you know, I'm encouraged by the steps that they're showing, and I think they can certainly do more. And the more that they allow teams and players to speak freely on the matter, I think the more encouraged I'll be that they'll continue to take the right steps towards racial equality.
Yeah, education is very important, and opening one's eyes to what's going on in the world every single day in Washington, D.C. It's frightening what is going on. So I think it's opening everyone's eyes and opening that dialogue. And at least baseball, which has been very slow to do anything, has finally taken some steps to listen and to be involved with it. So I think it's a good beginning for it. Well, the Giants are 0-2. The Dodgers have taken them apart the first couple of games. Yes, Yastrzemski, a positive part. Jalen Davis, nice home run for him yesterday. How'd you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, I tweeted it, but I'm just happy to see him kind of put it together. All I've heard about Jalen Davis is how he is an incredible player and has a lot of natural talent. And we haven't necessarily seen that. Obviously, it's kind of been an abbreviated look at Jalen Davis, but you know, I'm hopeful that this is something that can continue. I think a lot of it is confidence. You know, he was one of the players that was maybe kind of considered on the bubble in terms of whether he would make the team or what kind of impact he would have. And I think, you know, as he continues to build confidence and is seen as one of the core members of the group, he'll continue to improve his performance as well. What do you think?
Well, I think the way he hit the home run and the laser shot that went out of the ballpark, and I think the ball is juiced a little bit too. I'll ask Adam this when we have him on next
yeah.
segment. But I think the ball is juiced. But I thought the way the ball went out was very impressive. It was a nice solid swing. He got under it. And he didn't dribble it. You know, it wasn't a ground ball. And I said to the folks on the show today, if somehow he can learn how to pull the ball at Oracle Park, he's Chris Davis. He's 45 home runs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's a lot to say, you know, the guys had one home run, let alone hit another 40. But that park is made for him if he can pull the ball. That's how I feel about him.
Yeah, and we also, not to bring it back to what we were just talking about, he's also, you know, one of the only black people on the Giants. And, you know, he must be feeling, you know, some type of way about kind of the racial social justice movements that are going on around him. I'm sure it's a very difficult time. So, I'm happy to see him kind of rise to the top. And, again, it goes back to that confidence thing, to feel supported by the people that he's around in the clubhouse, and maybe that can be kind of one less thing he has to think about when he's at the plate.
Mm. Have you enjoyed the broadcast?
I have. You know, like, it doesn't, when you don't see them sitting apart, you know, the Kuk and Kipe and John and Dave, you kind of don't even realize that they're apart or in different kind of segments. And honestly, with the crowd noise and everything, if you're just listening to it, you don't really notice that it's not being played in front of 40,000 fans, right? So I have enjoyed it. I've really, really missed those four guys and hearing them on the air and hearing their takes on everything, because they're obviously so educated on baseball. And every time I listen to them, I continue to learn.
Now, did you get a cutout to put at the ballpark?
I thought about it. I did think about it. Not for me, but I thought it'd be nice if Clayton and Waffles, my two cats, had a nice presence, maybe behind home plate or something like that. But I couldn't justify $200 to just have my cats at the game. So I decided against that. But I was going to ask you, if you had four cutouts to bring with you, who would you take with you?
In other words, a guest that I would bring to be with me as a cutout?
Yeah.
Well, that's now, does it have to be a baseball person?
No, it could be whoever. It could be your daughter. It could be anybody.
Okay.
Whoever you want.
I like that. That's a very good idea. I would take I'd take Bonnie, Evan, and Aaron. Those are three, and then we take one picture of the four grandchildren and put them in a cutout. Because I'm glad you mentioned that, because I haven't mentioned the family today. And, you know, being up here and sort of, you know, being very careful about being outside, and I know you are too, we miss each other, and we miss the family. So I like it. Very good. Now, who would you, if you had to choose that, would you, other than the two cats, who would you bring?
So I got the two cats. I would probably take... Let's see. I might take Adam. I really miss Adam, actually, and just being around him. He really likes to split hamburgers, so, okay. You know, I think that would be a good food partner. And you know what, Marty? I'll take you.
I like it.
I also miss being around you, so
all right.
You can be with me as well.
All right.
The
what ballpark food?
Adam and you.
What ballpark food do you miss the most?
Oh, man. You know I love the ballpark food. Sometimes I'll wander out of the press box just to get a little meal. But remember that poke bowl that I just really liked?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I really miss that. But, like, if I'm talking about, like, core ballpark food, like the chicken tenders and garlic fries are A++.
Yeah, I miss my French fries at the Public House.
You do, right? That was, like, the way we knew the weekend was started. You got your fizzy water and your French fries, right?
Right.
Every weekend.
And what about my sandwich?
And your sandwich, turkey, tomato, lettuce, mustard, no mayo, no cheese.
You got it.
Toasted whole wheat bread. I haven't lost a beat, Marty. I'm right
no,
here with
we've,
you.
No, we've done this many years, and I'm glad to have you on, and we'll do this, we'll try to do every week with you and see if you can't do a couple of interviews, too. But it's our family, and Allie and Adam and you and me and our Public House family. So I miss being out there. But it's the next best thing is having you with us. So I appreciate you being with us today. And your thoughts on today's game, Logan Webb and Alex Wood and the juggernaut Dodgers are -400 to win the game today. What do you think?
I mean, here's the goal for the Giants, right? Walk less people and maybe don't commit any errors today. If they do that, I'll be happy. Logan Webb is one of those guys just kind of like – what I was saying with Jalen Davis is that he's one of those guys that has tremendous potential. It's through the roof. Like every time I hear a player talk about Logan Webb stuff, it's always glowing reviews. It's just how can he put it together in a real game and kind of, again, gaining that confidence. So I'm really excited to see what he can do and kind of hoping the Giants can just clean up their act just a little bit.
Yeah, good defense, and don't walk anybody. The lineup is out for the Dodgers, and I'll just say it very quickly. Muncy, Betts, Bellinger, Turner, Seager, Taylor's a DH, Peterson, Kiki, and Barnes is the catcher with Alex Wood. Giants lineup is not out, and Dave Roberts says, you know, they do a little bit of gamesmanship over there. I hope that comes to an end and they play a little more conventional baseball.
Yeah, I don't really get what's going on there and why pitchers are kind of being switched at the last minute. But, you know, Gabe Kapler is a different cat, right?
Yeah.
We kind of still have to get used to him. He's definitely not the Bruce Bochy type, and he's shown that just within the short time that he's been here already. So I don't know if this is the new normal or if this is just kind of an experiment, but – there's only 60 games to figure it out, right?
And we will. And believe me, we will be there watching every one of them. Hey, Carmen, have a great afternoon, and we'll talk to you next weekend.
All right. Sounds good. Talk to you later, Marty.
All right. Thanks. That is Carmen Q, part of our family. She's, of course, one of the stars of Triple's Alley and also Weekends in the Park. All right.